With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a Tuesday evening. Welcome back in. Farrell on the bench. Zach Gelbin for Scott Farrell on CBS Sports Radio. And right now we're going to head out to the hotline and welcome in one of the newest members of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Played offensive line with the Seahawks, Jets, and the Titans, and now is a part of Herm Edwards' staff at Arizona State, and that's the Pro Football Hall of Famer and Kevin Mawai. Kevin, congratulations, and I want to start you off with reliving the first Saturday in February, Selection Saturday. This was the third time that you were a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but this time you finally got the knock on the door and you found out that you're going to Canton, Ohio. Just relive those emotions and memories for me.
Yeah, it's hard to describe all the emotions that you're feeling at that time. Obviously, I was overjoyed. When I got the knock, it was a three-hour wait after getting in my room, resting, taking a shower, waiting. There's a moment in there where I told my wife, Tracy, that I didn't think this was going to be the year. I just got this gut feeling I'm not going to get in. And, you know, so 2 hours later, no knock. And then the 4 o'clock hour came, which was supposed to be the deadline. We got beyond 4 o'clock. It was 4:05, 4:10, 4:15. And I was like, it's like frustrating because you're like, God, I should know something by now. And then all of a sudden, I took a pause, put my cell phone down, just took a deep breath. And then all of a sudden, the door knocked. And it was like a bam, 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 you know, and as soon as that happened, I literally jumped out of my chair. I looked at my wife, said, "We got it." Threw my phone across the room. I started crying, and I was just crying. I looked at my wife crying. She started crying, and she goes, "Well, you got to answer the door." And so when I opened the door, I saw the videos that had been posted on social media, and I just, for the next 48 hours after that, it was just a wave of emotions. And, you know, the first thing I thought is, I told somebody the other day, it's kind of like, you always hear people that are dying, that their life flashes before their eyes. For me, that moment was a moment of joy where my entire NFL career from childhood to the end of my career flashed before my eyes. And it's like every coach, teammate, every great moment that I can remember, it all happened in such a flash that the emotions couldn't keep up with it. It was just overjoyed. And man, I was on cloud nine for about a week afterwards. I finally settled back down. It's kind of sunk in a little bit. And I kind of like being introduced as Pro Football Hall of Famer. That's pretty cool. So that's a neat title to have, and not very many people have it.
For you emotionally, it hit right away, like we were talking about with you right now as we're talking to Pro Football Hall of Famer and Kevin Mawai. But even when you're by, you know, yourself or just driving like you are right now, do you just smile and go, man, I'm a Pro Football Hall of Famer. This is nice.
Yeah, I do. And it's crazy because I get choked up. So I got right now kind of like holding back a little emotion because, again, every time you think about it, it's never just you. It's always like the hundreds of teammates that I've had and the moments I've shared. And then even I think about my wife, and there hasn't been one game in my entire life since I was a freshman in college that she wasn't the first person I talked to after the game, because we've been together that long. And just even knowing that she's such a part of it, and here I am getting recognized for a game. And I used to tell young guys all the time that a game that you played when you were a kid, even in the NFL, it's still the same game that you played when you were 8 years old. You know, the field's still 100 yards long and 53 and a half yards wide. Hash marks might look a little different. The goalposts are the same size. It's still the same game that you played when you put the shoulder pads and the helmet on for the very first time in your life. And I'm getting recognized as the best that's ever did that. And you get overjoyed and the emotion just kind of kicks in. And all I can think of is, wow, that's just, it's cool. It's so neat. And it's just so special. And so, yeah, I do. I do all the time.
It's also really cool, and you hear the relationship with your wife and the true love that is there. It's neat that she's going to actually present you coming up this summer in Canton, Ohio. What went into that? That's awesome that you have your wife presenting you for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you know, there was never a thought. It was never, well, who do I need to get? Because I've said it before, she's the only one that's been through every one of everything with me. You know, my parents raised me, my dad, you know, my parents got me into football when I was younger, and so 2 years of flag, 2 years of tackle football, and then 6 years of junior high and high school. So we're talking 10 years, but then my wife's been with me for 29, you know, and like I said, she's been through, I played in 241 games, not including playoffs, and she's the first one that I talked to after every game, win or lose. And she knew when I played well. She knew when I didn't. She knew every complaint I have. She'd ask me, why did you guys throw it on third down? Why didn't you go, you know? I mean, she knows the game, and she knows all the effort that I put into it over the course of my career. My kids, at one point, a couple of years ago, kind of went back and forth about, well, I want to give you a speech, Dad. My son would tell my daughter, why do you get to give a speech? And I just finally nipped it in the bud. I said, whenever that time comes, neither one of you going to do it. Mom's going to do it. Because she's the one that deserves to do it. And so I shared, you know, every big moment in my life, in my adult life, has been shared with my wife. She's been in the – when I went with the New York Jets or agreed to terms back in 98 that made me the highest best senior in the history of the league, my wife was the only one in the room with me when I found out. You know, I mean, like I said, she's a Hall of Fame wife, and she deserves to be recognized as the person that helped me get there, because I'm not doing it by myself. We're going in together.
Kevin Mawai, Pro Football Hall of Famer, here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Zach Gelbin for Scott Farrell. We talk about issues that happen in the locker room, issues that happen on the field, but we sometimes forget that football players have families, and there's a lot of things that go on with families, as we know. And you know it better than anybody, because early on in your career, you lost your brother. I'm sure, you know, get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I know you think about your brother every day, but I'm sure that was also emotional as well when you think back and have that little moment talking to your brother, you know, just in your head and speaking above.
It really does, because, you know, I have no regrets in my career, how I played the game and what people thought about me. I have zero regrets, other than the only regret I ever have is that my brother never watched me play in the stadium, like in person. He's seen me play on TV. We played together in college ball at LSU, and he was only a year older than me. So, but he, as a professional football player, he never watched me play in person. And that, you know, that's the one regret I have in that regard. But my brother's death changed my entire perspective on life. It changed who I was as a man. It made me take inventory of what I did and why I was doing it. And it led me to my faith. I became a born-again Christian through that process of grieving, and then my son being born, and realized that football was not always about me, and it wasn't just about the fame and fortune that it brought, but it became a huge platform for me to share my faith and to, you know, to be a mentor and a role model. And so my brother's death really was a catalyst that changed my life in such a way that made just what I did, not who I was.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Kevin Mawai here with us on CBS Sports Radio. When we take a look back at your career, what's the moment, you know, what's the part of your career when you look back at it and recap it, and it's a time now for reflection and to celebrate Kevin Mawai as we lead up to the summer? What is it that stands out to you the most? What are you most proud of about what you were able to do in your time in the NFL?
You know, on the field, the things that really stand out to me is my longevity, the 16 years. And I know I didn't play as long as some guys. Bruce Matthews, Clay Matthews both played longer than I did. Jackie Slater played 21 years. So, but the longevity is something I'm proud of.
And you didn't miss games, Kevin. 96 to 2004, you started every game. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, up until the 2005 season, I was at 177 straight games that I didn't miss. And I think that was the most for any current player at the time. And I think I was tied for like 16th or 15th in the league, like in the history for offensive linemen. And so I tore my tricep and I missed 11 games. And that hurt me more than anything, because I felt like I let my teammates down because they were counting on me. And as I took pride in playing and being available, and Herm Edwards always says it all the time, your best ability is your availability to your teammates. And I took pride in knowing that every Sunday my teammates could count on me. So the longevity, then the games played, and every game I played, aside from three of them, I started. And I never came out unless it was a catastrophic injury, which happened once, maybe twice, or we got pulled because we either were winning so big or we were losing so big. And so my teammates can count on me. So those are the things that really stuck out in my mind, how I changed the way my position was played and how watching now, how coaches try to utilize the center position in ways that I did. I changed the way that position was thought of. It used to be just a big guy kind of stagnant in the middle. And aside from some outliers with, Dwight Stevenson early on and then Demonte Dawson, but then when I took over for the Jets, it became our main package for me to get out in the open field and block the second and third level. And then you look now, and there are still teams trying to do what we did back in the 98-2005 period with the Jets, and they just can't do it. They don't have a guy that can do what we did. And, granted, I had Curtis Martin running behind me, but, so in that sense, I changed the way the game is played at that position. And then off the field for me, being the president of the Players Association, I'm really proud about what I did through the 4 years of my tenure with the death of Gene Upshaw, overseeing the election process of getting a new executive director and then taking our players through the lockout of the 2011, prior to that 2011 season. I'm proud of how that CBA turned out and what it brought for the players and the accomplishments we gained in that off the field.
8-time Pro Bowler, 7-time first-team All-Pro, like we're talking about. You rarely missed any games. When was the moment in your career, and I don't know if you think about this when you're in the moment, that you go, I'm not only a good player, but I'm a great player. I'm a Hall of Fame type of player.
It was about a year of 11 or 12 that people in New York would start saying, hey, these are your numbers. Have you ever thought that you might be a candidate for a Hall of Fame? And I never thought about it that way. I just wanted to be great at what I did, and I wanted to be the best that I could be. I never tried to compare myself with another player. Now, I would watch guys, Demonte Dawson. I would learn from Dwight Stevenson from way back, and I'd watch other players around the league and be like, I could do that, or I could do that better, or I could do this that I know they can't do. So other than comparing it in that way, I never wanted to be the best ever. I just wanted to be the best that I could be. And I think my approach in that sense helped me to stay focused on me and not everybody else. I never tried to compare myself with another player or whatever. And I had just enough ego to think that everybody around that stadium was there to watch me play. And so I played like that. I played hard. But more importantly, I had fun. I played the game with a passion and had a lot of fun with it. And so by the end of my career, I just wanted to enjoy what I was doing and doing it at the highest level I could, and then whatever happened, happened. And here I am now as a Hall of Famer. But it was never my goal to be that. I just wanted to be a good football player and do what I love doing.
What did Bill Parcells mean to you?
He means a lot to me, still does. He took a chance on me. I was in Seattle. I really didn't want to leave Seattle. I wanted to be a guy that played his entire career in one team. And I saw the free agent market and saw what some guys were getting paid. And I valued myself higher than some of the other guys. And I was told that we don't think you're that type of a player. And so when I went on a free agent trip and Parcells said, I think you can be, everything we need to be successful. He compared the situation to when he was with the Giants. He said until he signed Bart Oates, he didn't feel like he'd had all the pieces to win a championship. And the center was one of his main pieces he wanted. And so he shared that with me on my free agent trip when I visited with him and showed me his plan to build the New York Jets. And we accomplished that in that first year. And he took a chance on me. He made me the highest paid center in the history of the league. And everybody thought he was crazy for it. And I did. When I signed that contract, I promised him. I said, I will make good on this and even more so. And I did. And even today, I thank him every time I talk to him, tell him I love him. And he's, and the greatest thing about Bill, a lot of people don't really know, is that he's more concerned with you as a person and your future and what he's done for you and how you've been a steward over what you've been given as opposed to being a football player. And one of the first questions he always asks is, I paid you a lot of money. Are you taking care of yourself? Do you still, that kind of thing. And, to have a guy like him, a Hall of Fame coach, to tell you in the tunnel after a game when I played against him, he goes, you're one of the best I've ever coached. And that's something that means a lot, and I'll never forget those moments like that.
The highest praise you could get. Before we let you run, Kevin, since we're on the topic of money, this is something I remember from my childhood growing up as a kid. There was a house next door to us, and Eric Mangini was looking at it. And then I remember a few days later, my dad comes in and he goes, I can't believe people are looking at this house next to us. He goes, I'm pretty sure Kevin Mawai was looking at the house. And I go, no way Kevin Mawai is looking at the house in our neighborhood. And then a few days later, he got cut by the Jets and then eventually went to Tennessee. I want to confirm if that was you. Were you house shopping towards the end of your career on the island with the Jets?
No, I had a house. I mean, I was.
That's what I thought.
No, I lived. As a matter of fact, I lived on 23 Cathedral Avenue. I was in Garden City. I just remodeled the house on the corner, and I wasn't looking. I already had a house. My wife wanted to put it on the market earlier in the year because we started hearing trade rumors. And here's the thing about the NFL. If you start hearing stuff, it means somebody's talking.
Yeah.
And where there's smoke, there's always fire, especially in the NFL. And my wife, we started hearing trade rumors in the last training camp I was there. And she said, we need to put the house on the market. And I refused to do it. And I should have listened to her because the Garden City market dropped out after I signed with the Titans. We lost money on the house. But, no, I had a house. And I love my house in Garden City. And unfortunately, I had to sell it when I moved to Tennessee. So my goal was to sign another contract there and retire as a New York Jet. And had I been on the team when they moved to New Jersey, I never would have left the Northeast. I would have stayed there full time.
Well, thank you for settling that debate, because I saw Mangini when he was looking at the house. And then a few days later, my dad goes, Kevin Mawai was looking. And I said, nah, come on. That's too good to be true. But best of luck with Arizona State, man. That was a fun football season you had. And congratulations once again to not only you, but your family. And we'll be rooting for you the rest of the way. But thank you, Kevin, for making a few minutes for us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And yeah, man. Keep whenever time you call me, make sure you say Pro Football Hall of Famer. Right? It makes me feel good.
And you know what? We have Peter Schwartz, who works here, who used to cover you with the Jets.
He's my guy, man. Peter's my guy.
He's the happiest person. He was so giddy when he found out that news.
Yeah, no, he's a great dude. I've known him since when I played there, and he shoots me texts, talks to me all about his son who plays the center position now. So please give my regards to him and tell him I'll see him in Canton.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.